The following program is part of the Inner Circle Podcasting Group. Go to innercirclecomics.com for more high-quality podcasts.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
And we're back with another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week. My name is Matt Baum. I am one of the heads that hosts the show. The other head's name is Joe Patrick. Say hello, Joe!
Hi, hello there, hi.
Today we're playing the answer of the week, and it works like this. We ask a question, we put it on the Two-Headed Nerd forums. It's the coolest place on the internet. You go there, you feel a little cooler. You can answer the question there, or you can call us at 402-819-4894. You can leave a 2-minute message with your answer, or you can get real fancy and you can send an MP3 to twoheadednerd@gmail.com detailing all your feelings about a question just like this one. That's your cue to tell me what the question is.
The question?
Yes.
This week's question.
Thought you might pick up on that. I apologize.
We're not in the same room. I'm not seeing the visual cues. This week's question came from the Goocher, Black Scorpion the 3, proud father of the new Black Scorpion the 4.
We have confirmation he's a boy.
He's a boy.
All right.
Hale and hearty.
The circle continues.
He wants to know, what is our favorite mentor-student relationship in comics?
It's going to be a fun one. Anthony from Brooklyn is the very first dude to hit us. Anthony, the conch is yours. It's Lord of the Flies humor.
I get it.
Some nerds, Anthony from Brooklyn here. And for me, it doesn't get any better than Barry Allen and Wally West. Just the ultimate example of what a student teacher relationship should be. Reason one, the mentor himself, Barry Allen, just a solid, nice, kind, patient father figure. And at least until they started mucking with his origin, not the product of some grim tragedy. He's just a good guy, got some superpowers, decided to do right by them, and pass these philosophies on to his student. Just a great person. Teach some superpowers, teach some science, and then show up at family gatherings. Solid, nice guy. And then reason two, in fiction, you want to see like a student-teacher relationship. You want to see the student surpass the teacher. And it could be argued that Wally West was a better Flash than Barry Allen, especially in the way that he manipulated the Speed Force. And now, granted, a lot of these things Wally learned.
I'm sorry, is that an argument?
Barry had died, but without the strong foundation that Barry had built, Wally probably wouldn't have achieved what he did. And if you want to see examples of what this, you know, student-teacher relationship was like and what it meant in particular to the student, I highly, highly recommend two stories. The first being The Flash, Born to Run, which is sort of a Wally West year one story. It was the first story arc Mark Waid wrote during his storied Flash run. And of course, the return of Barry Allen's storyline, which I'm not going to spoil here, but may be the greatest Flash story ever told. Check them out. Thank you very much.
Bye.
I'm going to let you handle this one, Joe Patrick.
Hey, I got nothing to say other than to say that Anthony is 100% right in every regard.
Okay, then. I had a feeling you were going to agree with that one. Anthony, always good to hear from you. And that's a very solid answer. Thank you, buddy.
Nerd is Black Scorpion number 3 with the answer to the student mentor stories. And I got to be brief. My answer is actually my favorite story of all time. It's The Return of Barry Allen.
Believe
it or not, that is a student mentor story where Wally West is learning to grow into his own under the tutelage of one Jay Garrick, one Johnny Quick, and one Max Mercury. That story is about Wally growing into his own, but without that teaching element to it where they hand down the mantle, it wouldn't have existed. It also set the template for further student mentor stories that I love. Like the entire JFA run is just about the mentoring experience. And let's not forget about Bart Allen and Max Mercury. So that's where it all starts for me, and that's my answer, nerds. Thanks.
Are we going to do this all day? Is it going to be all Flash?
Hey, I'm into it. Once again, I can't argue with any of his points.
Black Scorpion the 3 likes to set up questions like that just so he can answer the Flash. I get it.
Black Scorpion the 3 calling in via the voicemail instead of his usual MP3 because immediately following that phone call, he drove his wife to the hospital to give birth.
Gross.
So you should all step up your game because that dude made time for us even though his wife was in labor.
There you go. I'm sure she was thrilled.
Yep.
Let's go to one of our children, Randy Andrews. We've raised him since he was a pup.
Greetings, Joe and Matt.
Whoa!
This is Randy Andrews emailing in for the question of the week. This week, you asked, what is your favorite student mentor story in comics? Well, guys, this was kind of tough. I could have chose Kitty Pryde in the all-new X-Men, or Batman with Robin. But I'm going outside the mainstream. I'm choosing Shaper from Dark Horse. It's about a kid named Spry being taught by Bastia, who is also a Shaper, to shape change. She beats him up a lot as they train, and he learns concentration for his final battle with the villain. It's my current favorite, and I hope they turn it into a real, actual series. Well, that's all I've got this week, guys. Check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.net, and my music this week is from Jarn Carpenter's
New York.
The Thing.
Oh, it's from The Thing!
In a week. Bye for now.
I thought you were a fan.
I thought I was, too. I'm not really sure what it has to do with Heroes and Mentors, but I do love that soundtrack. It's great. Okay, Randy, this is editing Matt. Listen to this in post. Obviously, you picked that song because Shaper was a shape changer, just like The Thing. Sorry, I missed that. Now back to your regularly scheduled program.
Hey, kudos to Randy for picking something kind of off the beaten path. I know what Shaper is. It's a current or a very recent Dark Horse comic.
I don't have the slightest clue.
But I never read it, so I don't have any. I have nothing to say about it. But at least it wasn't Barry Allen again.
Fair enough. No more Flash crap. You're disqualified. I'm just kidding. You have a good Flash answer.
That's what you think.
We'll still take it if it's a good answer. Apparently, Australia just got their power turned back on because the Thunder from Down Under, Cleon Soars, he's back in action.
G'day, Twitter nerd. It's Cleon the Thunder from Down Under, calling in after a long hiatus. Now, my answer comes from a comic I'm currently reading called My Hero Academia by Kohei Horikoshi. This series takes place in a world where a significant proportion of the population have powers, also known as quirks, and so supervillains and superheroes are a regular thing. The student-mentor relationship that I'm talking about is between the two main characters, Midoriya, who's a young boy who has no powers, but has the guts and heart to be an amazing superhero. He's then taken in by the world's greatest superhero, a figure of complete optimism and justice, known as All Might. Now, I know he kind of sounds like your Superman analog, but he's definitely a lot more quirkier and eccentric. We find out, however, that All Might is losing his ability to use his powers after suffering a near-fatal wound from a battle from one of his greatest supervillains years ago. And so he has chosen Midoriya to take up the mantle of All Might, because although he might not have any powers currently, he feels that he has the gusto and the values of being the greatest superhero. Now, one of the reasons why I love the interaction between these two is the contrast of All Might's complete trust and confidence against Midoriya's complete anxiety and uncertainty in being able to live up to the legend of All Might. We also start to see the pressure of being the world's greatest superhero in a world full of them on All Might. Midoriya is one of the very few people who know that All Might is losing his powers, and so there's a strong level of trust between these two. Now, it's only been serialized for a year, so there's still plenty more to discover between the student mentor team. I highly recommend you guys to check this out. It's one of, if not my favorite, superhero comic, and definitely approaches superheroes in many unique ways, whilst also calling out to Western superheroes such as Superman, X-Men, and Astro City. It was published by Viz Comics, and Volume 1 should be out now. Anyway, check it out, guys. Hope you guys are doing well. Bye-bye.
I have no idea what he was talking about.
Cleon, good lord, man. Always calling us out with that manga stuff.
We'll have to check that out, I guess. It sounds interesting. Sounds like something we would like.
I'm just glad he's back.
I am too. I was afraid he was dead. Tim Benson hits us with an MP3, and I wonder who it is he's going to mention.
Tim Benson here. That's TB Ramblin' on the Twitter. And when I'm not trolling the two-headed nerd as a love child to Daredevil, I'm making super cool books that even Scott Dunbar is jealous of. This week, we explore mentors in the comic book world, and while the expected answer is Stick, leading Daredevil into the mystical understanding of his heightened senses, I can't say that. It isn't my favorite. It's not the best. To be honest with everyone, and myself, my love of Daredevil is in question these days. I think I've actually liked the idea of being a crazy Daredevil fan more than I actually am, a crazy fan. Sure, I really like many, many Daredevil stories, but I didn't create a super fan website or anything. I'd like to declare my freedom from Daredevil super fandom out loud to the world, or at least the internet. My answer to the question is guys like Joe and Matt, people who are passionate about comics, spreading the word that they do the work of a podcast, they write reviews, they work at shops, deal with all these crazy people who talk about Weird World all the time. By the way, have you read Weird World? You should read Weird World. Everyone should read Weird World. I'd like to talk about it for the rest of the day. Anyways, thank you, Joe and Matt. You're my comic book mentors. Stick, Alfred, the Watcher, they can suck it. From here on in, I'll try not to troll.
What a guy. You believe this kid?
Whoa.
Jeez.
That son of a bitch.
My coal black heart just grew 10 sizes in my chest, just like the Grinch.
I can't stay mad at him.
I know. It's hard. Tim, you're a damn sweetie. Let's go to our resident superhero, Dan Dashley.
Greetings, true believers. Dan Dashley here, host of Dan Dashley Discusses, which was down for a while, but like a mediocre comic review, Phoenix has risen from the ashes. And I'm, of course, here with another answer of the week. This week's question was, what was your favorite student slash teacher slash mentor type relationship in a comic book? For this question, I turned to one of my favorite action books of all time, which is, of course, Infinite Kung Fu. Specifically, the relationship that our main character, Yang Li Kung, has with his master and leader of the sort of Kung Fu immortal gods that sort of reign over his world. A former soldier who sort of ditched out on the army found this old man meditating high up in the mountains and presumed him dead. Wanting to give the man a proper burial, he of course sets his body aflame, only to find out that he had accidentally killed the Kung Fu Grandmaster, who was none too pleased that he had to then inhabit the body of an empty corpse. And thus, the Grandmaster started to mold Yang Li Kung into the greatest martial artist of his time so that he could help save the world. What I absolutely love about their relationship is that Infinite Kung Fu, from the get-go, basically said, hey, this book is an open love letter to every single martial arts movie that's ever been made. And in that vein, they have basically the stereotypical Kung Fu master-pupil relationship. His master gives him vague orders, is very strict, tells him little to nothing about what his destiny is or what he'll actually need to do from the start. And it's these little moments that make you go, yeah, I've seen this in every single Kung Fu movie ever. While that might sound a little bit boring, I think that is quite wonderful because it manages to capture those cliches all in a rather interesting package. There's no real, hey, I've seen this before, let's stop doing what you're doing moment. It's, hey, I remember that. These are all good references and good themes that you're throwing at me here. And that's really why I enjoy Infinite Kung Fu so much as a whole, but specifically the relationship that Yang Li Kung has with his master and sort of the way that their relationship evolves. All right, true believers, so there you have it. That's my answer of the week. I hope that you enjoyed that. I'm about out of time here, so I'm just going to go ahead and sign off. Until next week, thanks for listening, true believers.
Danny Dashley.
I love it.
You got to love the fidelity on that guy. He just always sounds great.
Infinite Kung Fu.
Yeah, and we loved Infinite Kung Fu. We reviewed it, what, last year or 2 years ago?
Oh, it was like decades ago.
Yeah, sometime in the past 30 years, we reviewed that, and we both loved it. It was so cool. Great book. Great answer, too.
I love that answer.
I love it. But now it's time for the Orca, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, dang.
Okay, short version this week, because I got a couple Siamese twins sleeping next to me. You boys know that this really exists? They're conjoined at the chin of all places.
Oh, gross.
Which makes for some ridiculous sexual positions. I'll let you use your imagination.
Oh, please don't.
It does get a little weird, even for me. But strangely enough, it's not strange for them. Because they say they've never known any other way. I don't know how long I'll be able to wrap my head around it. Or wrap them around my head. But I'll ride it as long as I can stand it.
God damn it, the Orca.
Strange. How about little Doctor Strange for my answer this week? But it's not what you think. I love Wong, and not just for his name. He's one of the more subtle characters in comics, but he's multi-layered. And in the hands of a good scribe, like, say, BKV, he can be the shiz. Spoiler alert for the rest of my answer. But in Doctor Strange The Oath, there's a super cool reveal in issue 5. That brings the miniseries to a kick-ass conclusion. Strange, cornered into an old-school fistfight with the bad guy, reveals that while he's Wong's master, Wong is his mentor with the martial arts. Then he kicks the hell out of the bad guy Nicodemus, whoever that dude's name is. It was great. Not to mention that the whole story is a tale of how much Strange loves Wong and how he's willing to risk all of humanity to save him.
You really just a love cool that story. Wong.
And between us nerds, there's some rumblings that this story is the plot of the new Doctor Strange movie. Maybe not, though, because they've casted Baron Mordo and he ain't in this story. It would make a tit sequel. Last little comment. You lazy bastards need to read more books. Last week I gave props to Joe Hill's Heart Shaped Box, and neither of you f***s have read it? Joe, you loved Lock and Key.
Okay, we're at 2 minutes. We'll take our tongue lashing off air. Thank you very much, the Orca. And I love that answer, Doctor Strange and Wong. And I love that Wong has always, like, recently in the past, I'm going to say 10 to 15 years maybe, Wong's been written as kind of a prick. Like, he doesn't really listen to what Doctor Strange says and stuff. He's kind of a jerk to him. Like, they're buddies and he works with them and helps him out and stuff. But, like, when he thinks that Steven's being lazy or something, he just, like, won't help him with things. And I kind of love it.
Yeah, I love what they've done, how they've kind of expanded on the idea. Like, you can't have Doctor Strange having a literal manservant in the modern day. That's right. It just doesn't work. So I love the evolution of Wong as Strange's closest friend.
Yeah. And also, like, kung fu mentor. Great answer. Nice to hear from you, the Orca. And you're right. We don't need read enough books. But now.
Hello, gentlemen. It is, man. The time on my Swatch watch says that it's toots time. And even though I've been drinking all day, I'm going to answer the question here.
Just like a responsible father.
And hope that it works. So, my favorite is, I'd have to say, the ongoing story, which is mostly told in flashbacks, of young child Hellboy and Brutenholm as his mentor.
Nice.
And telling him about life and things like that, how to be a good person and everything. That's it. Spans the whole series. That's my answer, because I don't have like a single one story. It's
brilliant.
Sue doesn't like it.
A little guest appearance by his wife Sue in the background.
I love it.
She was not impressed.
They never are, Matt. They never are.
What can you do? Wooly Toots with our final call. And I like it. Hellboy and Dr. Brutenholm, that was almost my answer.
But no, you have to be a show off.
I have to be a show off. And I'm going to show off. But first, before we start showing off, who's your favorite? Pick your favorite call. Joe Patrick?
Let's see. I like Toots's a lot. Tim was just... Tim's just pandering.
He's a little pandering, but I'll take it.
Cleon, sadly, I'd never even heard of. I gotta give it to. Why don't you go ahead? Why don't you give yours, and then I'll give mine, and then go right into my own answer.
Okay, fine. I'm going with the Orca. I really like Doctor Strange and Wong together. I love that pairing because it kind of goes both ways. It's interesting. And I love it. And they're two of my favorite characters. It's great.
It goes both ways just like you.
That's right. Just like me. Your turn, Joe Patrick.
No question. Doctor Strange and Wong, a great relationship. I love them. I especially love how they've evolved in the modern day. Can't blame the Orca for that answer. Not a bit. My favorite. I got to give my favorite to the tag team. Titanic team up of Anthony and Black Scorpion for essentially coming up with the same answer, which is also my answer.
Of course.
But I'm going to put a little spin on it. I'm not going to say that mine is specifically Barry Allen, because honestly, I only read like one or two Barry Allen comics before I really got into Wally stuff. And so for me, I don't put a whole lot of stock in the Wally Barry relationship. I know it's very important to the character, of Wally West, and you can't have Wally West without what Barry Allen did. But I was much more into the idea of the Flash family as like a unit, where you had generations of speedsters, and you had, so you had Impulse and Johnny Quick and his daughter Jessie.
Yeah.
And Max Mercury and Jake Garrick and Wally as this not a team, but a family. And so you had Wally mentoring Jessie, and you had Max Mercury mentoring Bart, and you had Wally sort of mentoring Bart, and you had Jay and Max mentoring Wally. It was all over the place, you know, and everyone was inspiring, like all of the characters were inspiring each other.
It was an orgy of mentoring.
And yeah, I mean, there are no better examples than of the Flash family at work than Born to Run, which is Mark Waid's first storyline, as Black Scorpion pointed out. But really where it really came together was The Return of Barry Allen, which was a storyline about a year into Waid's run, less than a year. And that was really what firmed up that group of characters as a family unit, was essentially Barry Allen returning from the dead and ruining everybody's life.
Yeah.
And I won't spoil what happens, because obviously there's much more to it than that. It's a wonderful story. If you haven't read it, track it down.
It's a fantastic awesome. Story. It really is.
Mark Waid at his best.
All right.
What do you got?
I was going to give my answer to this one.
I am Pencilhead.
And I am son of Pencilhead.
We erase crime.
The Pencilhead family from Mystery Man.
Oh, jeez.
I just love the kid. And I am son of Pencilhead. No, I am going to go with characters created by Denny O'Neil, two of which I love very much. The relationship of Richard Dragon as teacher and The Question as student. From the original 1987 Denny O'Neil Question series. I never read the older Richard Dragon stuff. This is where I met Richard Dragon. And The Question, Vic Sage, when they started writing him, was just like a complete asshole. I went and revisited the comic not too long ago, and I forgot like what a jerk he was. And he was super cocky, and he thought he was like the best crime fighter in the world, and he didn't have time for anyone because he was so intelligent. Lady Shiva shows up and kicks his ass. Absolutely kicks his ass. But instead of killing him, she's like, you know what? I see something in you and I kind of like it. I don't want to have this fight again. You need to go meet this guy and he'll train you how to fight somebody like me. Because she's so bored with whooping everybody's ass, right? So she sends him to Richard Dragon, and he's such a jerk that like no one can put up with him. No one can deal with him at all. And Richard Dragon is so patient. He's like this perfect Buddha, like martial arts instructor. And Vic Sage realizes what a jerk he is through his teachings from Richard Dragon, who's, you know, old school Kung Fu Hollywood, like kicking the shit out of him to teach him stuff, you know, like very Mr. Miyagi Karate Kid type thing.
Sure, sure.
And comes out of it. The Question comes out of his training a complete martial arts badass. And Denny O'Neil totally changed the character after that, too. Like he completely reworked the character just with this Richard Dragon story. And then later on in the pages of 52, this was as Rene Montoya, the police officer from Gotham, who was part of Greg Rucka's GCPD or
Gotham Central.
Yeah. Gotham Central. She gets recruited by Vic Sage to become the new Question because Vic is dying of cancer at the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he takes her back to meet his teacher, Richard Dragon. And in that time, we learn that he's not only his teacher, but they fell in love. Oh, it was so sweet.
What? Wait, really? Does that happen?
Yeah, totally.
I don't remember that.
He doesn't come right out and say like, I'm gay and we're gay together, whatever. But he very much suggests that they are way more than student and teacher and became like that way over the years. And Richard Dragon trains Rene Montoya, and she kind of figures it out. Like, these guys are totally in love with each other. And it just brought this whole new element to their relationship where it wasn't just like, you know, like cheeseball movie where, you know, Master Wang or whoever teaches like fat American guy to shape up and be a badass or something. Like, they both met each other and saw something in each other and fell in love with each other. It was amazing.
That's so sweet. I need to reread 52.
Oh man, it was so good. And I was super pissed when they killed Vic Sage and stuff. I liked Renee Montoya as the Question, but I really like Vic Sage. And I will always love Richard Dragon. He's like DC's, he's basically DC's Shang-Chi, but he's a white guy.
Sure, sure.
Like, he is arguably their greatest kung fu master. Like, he helped Batman out and stuff for a while. Batman trained under him for a couple of years. That was a fun one. And of course, I had to pick a martial arts mentor and keep in student thing, because that's one of my favorite tropes in any like TV, movie, any type of entertainment. I love the kung fu master and the kung fu student. Oh, always loved it.
You're so predictable.
I know. I am. I almost said Stick and Daredevil. I figured Benson was going to take that one. But I like this one even more. So there. Huh. We have got a new question.
Yeah.
It went up on Sunday. Joe Patrick, tell these kids what it is.
All right, the new question is this. Pick one character that you love from comics, and then pick one actor that you think would represent them best on the silver screen.
And we're looking for somebody who probably has not been in a movie yet.
Preferably a character that has not made it to a movie yet, but if you can make a strong case for recasting an existing character, we'll take it.
Yeah, like maybe you hated Swamp Thing.
Yeah. I mean, and TV characters are fair game too. Like, if you have a great idea for Green Arrow, then go for it.
Sure, sure. Why not? I can think of a million people better than Stephen Amell. Although, I will say, he was not bad at SummerSlam.
He kicked ass!
He wasn't bad. He spent way more time in the ring than I thought he was going to. He took some lumps. He wasn't bad. I'm impressed.
He's totally into it.
Thank you to everybody that called in or sent us an MP3. Actually, nobody called in. They all sent MP3s.
No, Black Scorpion.
Oh, you're right. That's right. Black Scorpion. But he had a good excuse. Regardless, it was wonderful to hear from all of you. We want to hear from more of you. I haven't had any first-time callers for a little bit. I want at least two next week. And I know there's two of you listening going, I don't know. Should I call? Just do it, okay? Don't be scared. This is a happy place where all we can do is make fun of you for 30 seconds and no one listens to the show anyway, so it'll be fine. You know what I mean? Yeah, give me a break.
I mean, really. What are you so scared of?
Our rogue Alec Baldwin AI is going to tell you how you can contact us after this. And once again, I apologize for his demeanor, but appears we were a little too good in our programming.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, it is an impressive feat for science.
It's a testament to our genius, I would say that.
100%.
All right. For now, this is the Two-Headed Nerd, signing up.
My favorite teacher-mentor relationship was between Hal 9000 and all the people he killed aboard his ship. Mull that one over for a while, puny humans. If you'd like to answer the question of the week, you can leave Joe and Matt a message at 402-819-4894. Send your MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com or leave a Skype message for the username twoheadednerd. Share the air and keep your answer under 2 minutes, please.